All right, it's time for Miami to do the damn thing. One game left before national championship. If they take care of business here, we feel like it's going to be a dub for the Canes. Let's talk about what they need to do to beat UConn on Saturday.
You are Locked On ACC, your daily podcast on the Atlantic Coast Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to today's edition of Locked On ACC. I'm your host, Candace Cooper, joined by Kenton Gibbs. Each and every day, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And more importantly, great news for our YouTube subscribers. We finally hit 1K. It's been a long time coming. We are the little engine that could. We have been a show that has been figuring out our way for a good bit now, but it's so exciting to finally be in the 1K conversation. Ken, how are we feeling? We're feeling good. Feeling great.
I feel great. You know what I mean? We just hit 1K. Our last episode is blowing up like napalm. It's an exciting time here at Locked On ACC. So I'm feeling good.
Right. If you haven't checked out our last episode, we talk about Dontrezz Style potentially going to NC State, taking a little undercover trips over to Raleigh. So make sure you check that out. A little rivalry action there. But we are all about the Canes today. We're going to talk about how the Miami Hurricanes are absolutely in a great position to get to the national championship. All they've got to do is beat a little bit of a UConn team. You know, not too much, not too bad. They've beaten number one teams. They've taken the whole state of Texas out, this bad boy. They have one game before them that could get them to the national championship game, a game that Coach Larrañaga has not been to yet in 17 years. It's been between his two Final Four appearances back when he was a George Mason Cinderella story. So I'm looking forward to talking about this game here and what the Canes can do in order to beat the Huskies. So as it stands right now, let's get into it, Kenton. They're only giving Miami a 20-ish% chance to win this game. Now, off the gate, we have talked about how Miami felt like the underdog. They've been the underdog for a lot of this tournament. People definitely wrote them off last year, didn't think they could repeat. And now they're saying, once again, you ain't getting to the championship. How do you feel about Miami's very minimal chance or predicted chance to win this game?
They are like, I mean, we're watching a real life example of Rocky right here, right? Like we're watching a team that's not supposed to be good enough. They're just, you only got a couple guys who can score at a high level, and you only got a couple guys who can defend at a high level and all that good stuff. You know, the ACC was bad, and you weren't even good enough to win the regular season or the tournament outright, like, you know, all that good stuff. And yet and still, they persist.
Hello.
You know. This was a team that I looked at earlier in the year, and I said, if they could play the way that they play in the second half, the entire game, I don't think that there's a team in the country that can keep up. But they had that problem of showing up to games like, oh, it's all right. We just got off an Elite Eight run. This team will fold eventually. And they were right many more times than they weren't. However, in some of the games they lost that they shouldn't, it was literally just falling asleep at the wheel and hoping they wake up in the second half. And now that they're coming out of the gates punching teams in the mouth, it's a little bit different. And against Texas, it wasn't that they fell asleep at the wheel. It's just that Texas team is a very good team. They were hitting a bunch of good shots. But still, they persisted. And this Miami team here, I'm enjoying seeing it. I'm enjoying seeing it because, again, who doesn't love an underdog?
Yeah. And I don't even necessarily think that they're an underdog or don't low-key consider themselves an underdog. I mean, Isaiah Wong is a player of the year for a reason. Omir definitely is one of those big men who has been figuring out his way, not, you know, someone who's been in basketball for very long and yet and still has been a dominant force. You got Jordan Miller kind of having these coming out parties, being one of the best, being perfect, you know, on the floor during NCAA tournament, which is not really heard of. Shout out to Christian Laettner for giving him that nod. It's just been exciting to see this team play together, be one, really play unselfish basketball. You even got guys like Joseph coming off the bench. I'm just like, they're doing it for coach. I feel like they're doing it for themselves. It's hard to bet against Miami, and yet and still people think that they can't get it done, which is crazy. At this point, why are we still doubting Miami?
I mean, again, they keep playing teams that are virtual Goliaths. That's why. Yeah. That Houston team was a buzzsaw. And it, that was a team that everybody was like, hey, they've got no shot. It's been a great season. More power to you.
Yeah.
They found a way. That Texas team, the story of the interim coach who is leading this team to do amazing things. And when Texas gets hot from deep, they are not hot as fish grease. They are not white hot. Them boys are hotter than I don't even know a word to that can properly encapsulate how good Texas gets when they're rolling from deep. And yet again, and they got there against Miami at times. They had moments where it was looking like, oh man, Rice ain't gonna miss today. And yep. yet, down 13 points, I want to say at the midway point of the second half, and yet Miami said, it's all right. We're going to stay the course. We're going to row the boat. We're going to keep fighting, keep clawing, keep scrapping. And so, you know, while it is like a, hey, this Miami team keeps proving themselves, they keep playing teams that are very, very good, but it is partially because the ACC has a bad reputation right now as to why, you know, they keep being doubted so heavily. Because at this point in time, I got to keep going against them because that's what the Miami fans ask for. They asked me to keep betting against Miami, so I'm going to keep doing it. But at this point in time, if you're still doubting Miami, if you don't think they're for real, I mean, they're for real enough to be one of the last four teams in the nation. So.
And, you know, it's crazy because I'm going to make reference to a team that, of course, I have to talk about because it's me. They're doing everything North Carolina wanted to do last season, right? They wanted to come back in, one box out, wanted to be the team that had the redemptive story. Like, yes, we almost got it, but it came up short. But we want to come back again and really go hard. Like, they are living what North Carolina dreamt, really, going into this season, especially considering they didn't have like super dominant pieces, but they had really good players trying to figure it out in some way, somehow. And they, for some reason, couldn't get that team chemistry dynamic together, which ultimately, in my eyes, was the Achilles heel for the Tar Heels. But what Miami has done well is they figured out how to play unselfishly, play together, and have guys like Jordan Miller find his way. And so I think that's been the biggest testimony for Miami. And story, if you're looking, you know, talking about NIL, you're looking at people trying to go find their right home. There's something about Isaiah Long staying, sticking it out and gelling, right? There's something about Nigel Pack finding his voice and staying and gelling. Like, I think that that's an important people, you know, coming in and gelling. I think this is an important piece of Miami's testimony. Coach Jim Larrañaga being a Hall of Fame coach, like, that is very telling when you kind of talk about X's and O's of why the Canes have had such a good season. But in looking at that, I definitely want to talk about the fact that there are some dominant pieces on the UConn side that we need to go over. But if there were to be a couple players that you were say need to have a go legend game for Miami, who would it be?
I mean, I think it's the usual suspects. I think that you're looking at Wong. Obviously, Isaiah Wong has to be a leader, has to make things happen. If you watch that Texas game, the stats do not tell you how crucial Isaiah Wong was. Yeah. Every time that game felt like it was on the brink of getting out of hand, Isaiah was going to hit a shot that was like, oh, man. Like, it isn't great offense. They didn't draw up anything crazy. It's literally Isaiah getting to his spot, elevating and hitting a tough contested shot.
Yeah.
You're going to need that. This UConn team can defend. They can defend their tails off. So you're going to need to hit some contested shots, some tough shots, some shots along those lines. That's going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, he's going to have to go legend. I think Miller and Omir, I don't know who's going to draw Sanogo. Am I pronouncing that name right? Sanogo? I don't know who's going to draw Sanogo. I don't know. But whoever gets them is going to have a heck of a game defensively. If you need to tell that player for the game, hey, don't worry about offense. Get what you can in transition. Your job is to follow this young man everywhere he goes. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. You better follow him from the minute that they had a team breakfast that morning to if he want to go to the bathroom, you better be ready to shake for him. It better be everywhere he goes. You are right there with him. Hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm in your hip pocket.
Yes, we'll talk about Adamos Sanogo in just here a second, but I want to make sure that if you are betting on the national championship, the Final Four, or any of the like, make sure you hit up FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com and sign up today to claim your new sweat first, no-sweat first bet at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Get up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Rocking and rolling with Kenton Gibbs here, talking through our favorite Miami Hurricanes, because do we have any others? No. But as of now, these are our favorites because they're repping for the ACC. Playing UConn is going to be no easy task, and yet I feel like the Canes can do it if they can minimize the effectiveness of a point person who averages 17 points per game, Adama Sanogo. He is one of the best there is, 60% from the field. And 77% from free throw. So if he gets in free throw trouble towards the end of the game, could be in the Canes' favor. But what they need to do now is stop 2 7-footers. They need to stop a team that's really good defensively and knows how to minimize you creating offensive opportunities for your program. So Canes got a tall task in front of them, literally and figuratively. How can they stop UConn, and especially Sanogo, going into Saturday?
I mean, I think the key is to match their versatility to some degree, but also do what you do at a higher level. Like, yeah. Let's be honest. One of the things that UConn kind of thrives on is that versatility, is that switchability, is that, you know, we got a bunch of players that can guard 2 through 4 and in spurts guard the 1 or in spurts guard a 5 for a possession or 2. Like, that's part of it. But with that being said, Miami has more specialists, more players who are good at the thing that they do it and do it well, do it better than you've seen it done. So with that being said, I'm looking at this Miami team and I'm saying, your guys who do their thing, you have to do the thing at a high level.
Yeah.
Omer, you got to rebound at a very high level. That front court has got to rebound at a high level in this game. You cannot let UConn hit the offensive boards and create second chances. You cannot have a situation where Sanogo is getting deep into his spots in the paint, because yes, he is good at, you know, he is good enough as a shooter. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, if you let him get to the paint and you do not have a wall built in that paint for him, congratulations. That's KDD. It's at the doorstep. If it was football, go ahead and fire up the band, because that's 6.
Yeah, so there have been 19 games where UConn has won by 15 points or more, most out of any team in the country. So they know how to dominate. They know how to put it away and make you feel like you haven't been in it. Luckily for Miami and Miami fans, we've seen them be in deficits and come out of those and still be able to pull off a win. So we know that this Canes team knows how to not get discouraged. We understand that. But can they even maintain a lead, figure out ways to win? They've done all facets of what it is to be an NCAA tournament. They had that opportunity to learn and grow from playing in the ACC, according to Isaiah Wong. But this is a UConn team that limits their opponents to only 59 points averaging a game. So when you say firing from the clip, them threes are going, I mean, yeah, those threes are going to have to be lethal. I mean, I'm going to need Jordan, Nigel, and Isaiah to be shooting from the hip. Like, we got to have some of that action, I think, beyond, you know, Omer probably getting stuffed at the rim for the majority of the game. I can see it. Now, if he goes legend, all hats to him. But I think he's going to be stopped.
I mean, this is going to come down to Miami matching the versatility to some degree. And guys kind of playing bigger than what they are, right?
Yeah.
Like, Isaiah Wong is not known for his defense. I doubt that he'll get this draw. But if he does, what are you going to do with Jordan Hawkins? How do you contain him for the entire game? Because, again, this UConn team, really every team in the Final Four, when you get to this point, 9 times out of 10, you're not just riding one horse. And of course, UConn has a bunch of different scoring options, the same way Miami as of late has had a bunch of different scoring options, a bunch of different guys that can get it done. So, you know, the question of this, to me, the question of this game is going to be whose stars shine brighter, because I don't think that the supporting cast will, I don't think that this will be a situation where if one group of stars shines and their supporting cast does not come through as well, they'll lose this game. I think that if you look at UConn all year, they've either dominated teams or they've lost in close games, which I think plays right into Miami's hands, because Miami has played in tight games all year, has played and has come from behind, has had those really tough moments where they've had their chin tested and they've come out on the other end of it with a W. So that plays into this game for Miami. That plays into Miami's hands again. Miami's job is to keep this game close.
Yeah.
Keep it close. Because I don't think you're pulling off a 13-point comeback. Again, I don't think that's happening. Keep this game close. Keep it within striking distance. And then at the end, I can trust that team. I can trust this Miami team to get it done in winning time.
Sure. Another part of UConn's game is the fact that they have three players who are observing Ramadan. So they will be without eating throughout the day and they will be fasting and doing all the things. As much as, you know, you don't want to say that's a factor of playing, you know, at a very high level, that could potentially be something that hinders them from playing at the most maximum performance. We've seen it happen, right? Just the fatigue of what basketball is. You're literally running miles up and down the basketball court. It could be something that fuels them, empowers them, and really takes them to the next level. We don't know, but I definitely say that's something to consider and look out for. Again, three of their players will be observing Ramadan.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I you know, we've seen this in the past where, you know, as much as we like to pretend that this doesn't have any effect, I mean, we've seen it in the past where, you know, it can kind of, as the game, as it gets later and later in the game and things kind of linger on a little bit, it can have an effect on players. You know what I mean? And it's a religious situation, which obviously you don't want to get into or talk about what anybody should or should not do in the observance of their religion. But with that being said, I mean, objectively, there have been times where players have just been kind of fading down the stretch if they don't manage this thing properly, because that's fasting during the Final Four is a big, big commitment. And you've got to be, you know, you've got to be in a special place to get that done in the right way.
Yeah, 100%. And so I think that's just something to keep in the back of the mind if you're, as you're watching the game and you're observing what the other team can and cannot do. The fatigue may set in. Of course, you know, you're going to hear the analysts talk about it and all this, you know, fun stuff. But hey, it could be not a factor at all. And they got this far, right? They're doing the darn thing with or without, you know, the fuel and all that stuff. So I think I'm going to say, all tables aside, you're playing with all heart at this point. You're playing with an extra step, all adrenaline, whatever you need to get to national championship game. Speaking of which, in hypothetical dreamland, the ACC is represented once again in the national championship game because Miami is going to beat UConn. Is it going to be an easy draw for Miami to either face off against FAU, Florida Atlantic, or San Diego State? This is almost like this is the national championship game. It gives me vibes of Duke when they had to face off against Wisconsin after Wisconsin took out that Kentucky team back in 2015. And like you took down Goliath and then Wisconsin had nothing left. And so Duke was able to win the championship. That is absolute shade. Take it for what you want. This is giving me, if UConn and Miami duke it out, it's going to be either FAU with San Diego State coming in and being like, oh, well, y'all already beat each other up so bad that it's going to be an easy one for us, or it's going to be a gimme for the winner of this bad boy.
I mean, if you're expecting a gimme in the national championship, you are sadly mistaken. Both of these teams that you could be potentially playing against. Now, I hate the phrase underseeded because everybody throws it around every time that a team's not a top four, top three seed, maybe even two seed. At this point in time in the tournament. However, do you know how many teams, how many games both of these teams have lost combined on the season?
Tell me.
Between FAU and San Diego State? 9. Mm-hmm. FAU is 35-3. San Diego State is 31-6. I am saying that to say neither one of these games will be exactly a pushover. San Diego State and their defense, you know, and it's not a surprise that a guy like Kawhi Leonard is a product of that, right? Because their defense is what they're known for. They're known for sitting down in the chair and making you have to work for every single point. A team like that up against a San Diego State team that, again, they will run you out of the gym if you are not – if you fall asleep if you want to. Fall asleep if you want to on that team and think to yourself, oh, we got it in the bag. They can score and score in bunches. They can fill it up like that. So if you're counting on either one of these, if you're counting on this game to be a pushover or easy for Miami, you're out your marbles. But with that being said, but
it's not a gimme.
But with that being said, Miami has definitive advantages over both of these teams as well. So
yeah. I don't know. I really want to get past UConn so I can get excited about the national championship. I really want this for Jim. I really do, because you said they need a national championship to get to the Hall of Fame, which, you know, I don't agree with, but whatever. I really just want Miami fans to have some sort of pride at this point. I want them to have some joy. They need some joy.
Can I say this? The
Please.
Only other coaches who are getting into the Hall of Fame without a national championship have one thing that they are known for to an extreme degree. Somebody said Bob Hutchins the other day. Bob Hutchins, do you know what people call West Virginia since he's been there?
Please.
You know the nickname they have?
Hutchville? I don't know what.
Press Virginia. They call them Press Virginia because Bob Hutchins is going to press your behind all the entire game. Down 30, up 30. 64 feet on that court. Hey, how you doing, buddy? All righty, we're going to go together. Yeah, we're going everywhere. Yeah, this is how we're going to do it. That team, I mean, yes, the team wins with that, but he has something that he is known for on top of that. If you don't have something along those lines to where it's like you ushered in something different and crazy, that is the way that his teams press is teach tape for other teams. When teams run basketball clinics, they turn on West Virginia and say, hey, this is what I want my press to look like. Sure. If you don't have that, baby, you got to get you a ring or two.
Well, I mean, I think because Miami has always been about football, that it's hard for Jim to establish what his, you know, title is. And there's what name can you think about Miami Jim? And, you know, find me a nice catchphrase. No, find me a nice catchphrase that correlates between Jim and the Hurricanes. And I think it'll work. It'll definitely work. He is going to be in the Hall of Fame with or without a ring. But I hear you talking. Because in theory, Miami is not a conventional basketball school. And he took a Cinderella team in George Mason to the Final Four, which we're all saying that is an extreme accolade, correct? We all agree that making the Final Four is up here. Like, we talk about that in resume writing.
For sure. Right? But there are plenty of coaches who made the Final Four that aren't getting in.
There's not many coaches that make the Final Four. I mean, you can keep hitting your finger, but there are plenty of coaches who don't make the Final Four. I just want that to be on record and clear. Okay. How many coaches are in the Final Four? How many coaches have made the Final Four multiple times and not in consideration for Hall of Fame?
I mean, that's fair. Making the Final Four is a big deal. Making it. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be in consideration. I'm saying it's. So I'll say this. The Basketball Hall of Fame is very lenient. They're very kind to folks. So, like, yeah, he'll likely get in. But
he's not getting off. He's not getting off of being a nice guy. Like, what are we doing here?
No. He's getting in because the Basketball Hall of Fame is nice. They're nice. They're kind. They let in people all the time.
So it don't take much.
It takes much. But in comparison to the other leagues, it takes very little. Baseball, if they don't like you, they will keep you out, even if you are the greatest to ever do it. Look at Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Pete Rose, guys along those lines.
But it's way more bias. I think that's personal bias than actual achievement. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Look at the NFL. They kept T.O. out for a very long time because he was, quote unquote, a cancer to his team, despite the fact that if you are talking about receivers all the time, you cannot name six that were better for their entire career. And if you're just talking peak, you can't name really four that are better than him.
The NFL also has rosters of 50 plus people. So, you know, at some point it gets hard to say, like, but narrow in that focus. But with basketball,
the NHL, they do not play. If you get in for the NHL, you either change the game, pushed it forward, or your team, we can't write the story of the game without you. Like, if we tried to write the story of a decade without you, we would not just miss like 1 year worth of something here and there. We'd miss
the requirement. Your name got to be Shemeshnikov or something. Cough. You know, like that's a requirement for hockey. But you know, whatever, whatever. Here Stop we are. Here we
Wayne,
are.
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna tell you this. Okay.
There you gotta have a Z in your name.
There are. Stop it. Knock it off. Okay. As a Red Wings fan, I take great offense to that because there are plenty of Red Wings that do not have a Z anywhere near their name that have gotten in. I.e. Gordie Howe. You know what I mean?
But I mean, Gordie was one, but okay. What's his middle name? Zach?
Wow. Knock it off. The reality is, I mean, again, I'm not knocking Larry Nager's resume at all. I'm not saying that his resume is not good or worthy of consideration. When I think of Hall of Fame and I'm saying no brainer, you're not in that category without a national championship as a coach. Unless you have something.
They finna eat you up. They finna eat you up, bro.
Let them. Let them.
They finna eat you up.
Again, if you have something that identifies you as like, this is a special, unique thing that you did.
George Mason to the Final Four wasn't special?
No. That, what I'm saying is, okay, if you write the year of the, if you write the story of the decade in which George Mason made the final, how many times would you have to meaningfully mention George Mason during that decade?
Okay. I get you. I hear you talking.
This Miami team, again.
Elite Eight, Final Four.
And this is what I was saying. If he reaches another Elite Eight or Final Four next year,
he got to do it again? Gosh, kid.
I said at that point, not only would he be certified, stamped, he's in, but also Miami would be a basketball school at that point. 100%. I've given him his props and said if he does this, he's done it once. He's had a repeat. If he does it 3-4 times, if he goes to the Final Four 3+ times, you got to be in at that point. There's no argument, nothing anybody can say to you.
All right. Well, 8:49 p.m. on Saturday Eastern time, we will see if my boy Jim can get himself into the Hall of Fame according to Kenton's metrics. He will have to win the national championship. Can't just go to the national championship because, you know, it's hard out here for a pimp. But make sure you come back on tomorrow as we talk about Virginia Tech LSU matchup. It's going down on Friday. We'll see if the Hokies can beat a very good LSU Tigers team with Kim Mulkey and the girls. So you want to check that out if you're into that women's basketball. ACC women's basketball has held it down so far. We think they can keep that momentum going. Make sure you listen to Locked On College Basketball because they have all the things that you need in terms of all of your programs across the country, and they're really good about it. And check out all of our friends here at the Locked On Podcast Network. As we said before, thank you for the 1K on Twitter. Thank you for the 1K on YouTube. If you want to get us 1K on Twitter, hey, we're halfway there. But we really appreciate you guys listening and, of course, following wherever you listen to podcasts. For Candace Cooper and Kenton Gibbs, until next time.